We begin our study today in Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 3. Hello everyone, this is Michael Moret, and this is our 37th lecture through the book of Deuteronomy. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 26. The word of the Lord to Israel before they enter into the promised land. It says, when you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. Now, God doesn't say how much Israel is supposed to give in this offering, and that was left up to the generosity of the individual offerer. And then in verse 3, God says, you're supposed to do this, Israel, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. And so each offerer was to give this little speech as they presented the basket of produce to God. And this whole thing was designed to acknowledge that God was the owner of that land and of all the food that that land produced. And so it was all a gift from him. And God likes us to be givers, not by compulsion, but out of gratitude. And that's what this was supposed to be. Verse 4, the priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. The priest taking the basket symbolized, actually, God receiving it, which would have been a very happy thing, I would think. If I was a giver, it would be to see God receive my gift. It is fun to give someone a gift when you know that it makes them happy. And our gifts to God make him happy. He gladly accepts them when we give with a willing heart. That's why giving should be a joyous thing for God's people, knowing that it makes God happy. Verse 5. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. And that, in a nutshell, is the early history of Israel. Jacob and his family were just that, a family. And they went down to Egypt because of a famine in the land of Canaan. And they were a family when they were there. But Egypt was an incubator for the nation Israel. By the time Jacob's family left, there were at least 1.5 million of them, and they had indeed become a nation. Verse 6, but the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Yeah, the Israelites. It was tough for them down in Egypt. They had no rights. It was a cruel slavery. They were beaten and they were killed. They were like animals to the Egyptians. 7, then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. They had no political pull in Egypt. They had no friends anywhere. And so they cried out to God, and he heard. Sometimes the best thing that can happen to someone is not having any place or anyone to turn to. Often, that's the only way people turn to God. 8. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great, with great terror, and with miraculous signs and wonders. And so God took Israel out of Egypt, and it was God who did it. And He did it with miracle after miracle, so that everyone would know that it was He who did it. Verse 9. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, they never would have made it to the Holy Land if it hadn't been for God's protection and provision in the wilderness. He really did bring them there. 10. And now I bring the first fruit of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before Him. And so after summarizing God's goodness, the offerer would say, I'm giving you the first part of my harvest, Lord, because of your goodness, and because I wouldn't have anything without you, I'm giving you an offering right off the top of my harvest. It belongs to you, God, to show you my appreciation. That was the attitude, and that is what they were supposed to do for this first fruits offering. Verse 11, and you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. And so this offering of the first part of the harvest was to be a very reverent thing. And this solemn proclamation by the giver. But then, after the presentation, they were to rejoice and have a good time. Some people do favors for others, and they never let the person forget it. You know, in exchange for the favor done, they make you feel like you're such a burden. Well, they want you to know how much they suffered to give you this, or whatever it might be. That's not the way God was, or is. God blessed Israel because He wanted to bless them. It was a joyful thing, the way it should be, when one person cares about another. And He wanted the people to give back to Him, and then join in a celebration with them. Verse 12, when you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give to the Levite, the alien, and the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Every third year, the Israelites were to give an extra 10%. And that third year tithe was set aside for the needy. It was, again, as we have seen several lectures ago, was part of God's poverty program. 13. Then say to the Lord your God, I have removed from my house the sacred portion and have given it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all you commanded. I have not turned aside from your commands, nor have I forgotten any of them. You say, well, God knows everything. Why did they have to tell Him something that He already knew? Because He likes us to talk to Him. And because it's good for us to spend time in prayer. No matter what the words may be, they are really secondary. The important thing about prayer is spending time with God. 14. I have not eaten any of the sacred portion while I was in mourning, nor have I removed any of it while I was unclean, nor have I offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God. I have done everything you commanded me. The offerer had to confess, and it was a positive confession. He had to confess that none of the produce that he was offering to the Lord for this first fruit, none of this produce was used for a funeral meal or at any other sad occasion. These offerings were to be eaten with joy before the Lord. 15. Look down from heaven, your holy dwelling place, and bless your people, Israel, and the land you have given us, as you promised on oath to our forefathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Boy, God is telling the Israelites exactly what to pray in this situation. And I'll tell you what, when God dictates a prayer, you can take it to the bank when you pray it back. He will do it. That's why the most powerful prayers are scriptures prayed back to God. 17. No, I'm sorry. Verse 16. The Lord your God commands you this day to follow these decrees and laws. Carefully observe them with all your heart and with all your soul. In other words, understand God's word and live it the very best you can, trying as hard as you can to be obedient to the Lord. Now 17. You have declared this day that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in His ways, that you will keep His decrees, commands, and laws, and that you will obey Him. God says, Israel, you've renewed your vows to me today. Again, you have said that you're going to live to please me. You know, it is a good idea to make a fresh commitment to obey the Lord and to do it often. Verse 19. He has declared that He will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all the nations He has made, and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God, as He promised. When Israel was obedient, God was free to bless them, and He did. They were above all other nations. No other nation could even come close. I mean, it was clear that the God of the universe was pleased with them. And that was to be a draw to all the other people of the world to come and investigate why Israel was so blessed. And then they could tell them about the one true God. And then they could enter into a covenant relationship with the one true God as well. It was never to be hoarded by Israel. Let's go into chapter 27 just a little bit here. Verse 1, Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, keep all these commands that I give you today. And the elders of Israel would be the 70 men who made up what became known as the Sanhedrin. It was sort of like the Supreme Court in Israel. Moses has just finished delivering his last big sermon before he dies, 26 chapters worth. In the book of Deuteronomy, and now he and the 70 elders exhort the people to apply what they have heard. Verse 2. When you have crossed the Jordan into the land the Lord your God is giving you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Now, we're going to see next time that these two huge stones will be used as giant billboards. You say, well, what's going to be on them? Verse 3, and we'll stop with this. Write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over to enter the land the Lord your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. And so, they were to write on those stones a summary of the book of Deuteronomy, possibly just the Ten Commandments. Well, we'll pick up our study in verse 4 next time and see what this is all about. Until next time, Mike Murhat here for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.